It's now time to read the Bible together, and our first reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10, and that's on page 964 in the Red Pew Bibles. Before we read, let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible which we can read from now. Thank you that it is your words to us, living and active. Please help us to hear and understand what we read, and bless Des as he expounds on it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first reading is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, in chapter 17, and that's on page 899 of your pew Bible. Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 10. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible.
Well, I think as Australians, it's probably fair to say that nowadays we are much more conscious about taking care of ourselves than we used to be. We're more conscious about not working too hard and getting enough exercise and sleep, and eating the right foods, and spending time with friends and family, and doing the sorts of things that we enjoy than we were even 20 years ago. We realise that it's important to take care of ourselves. Well, today I'm going to add something to the list of things that you've got to do to take care of yourself, and that's to get to church. It's not just enough to eat well and get enough sleep and have a hobby. Now, if you're really going to thrive in life, according to God, you've got to get to church. Now, in our first sermon last week, we saw how turning up to church is not all about you. It's about the glory of God. And in next week's sermon, we're going to hear how turning up is not all about you again. It's actually for the sake of other people. But in this sermon, we're going to hear how turning up is about you and how it's actually very good for you. In fact, getting to church regularly is essential for your spiritual well-being. The key point we really want to make today is that showing up to church is essential for you staying strong and persevering as a Christian until the end. So let's dive right on into three reasons I'm going to give you why turning up to church is actually really good, not just for God and for other people, but for you. But before we start, I've got to add a caveat. This is not meant to make you feel guilty. That is so vital. Let me repeat it to you again. This is not meant to make you feel guilty. Nothing in this sermon or nothing in the other two. I think that's actually the first reaction that many of us feel, isn't it, when we hear about this stuff, especially if we are someone who actually finds it quite hard to make it to church regularly. I mean, let's face it, we already feel guilty enough about all the things we're supposed to be doing for other people. But now, over the last few decades, I think we increasingly feel guilty about all the things that we're meant to be doing for our own good. I mean, it used to be that people left you alone when it came to your own good. I mean, if you wanted to smoke and eat bacon all day, well, sure, that was dumb, but that was your problem. But now, the worried look and the "you really need to look after yourself" talk, that's taking on an increasingly moral tone, isn't it? Nowadays, looking after yourself isn't just something that's smart. No, it's right. And not looking after yourself, well, that's not just dumb. That's wrong. You've got to look after yourself. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the list of all the things that you've got to do to care for yourself just seems to be getting longer and longer and longer, doesn't it? You've got to exercise for 30 minutes a day. You've got to sleep 8 hours a night. You mustn't eat too much junk food. You've got to have a hobby, and on the list goes. By the time you've got through all the things that you've got to do for yourself, in fact, sometimes it feels like you'll barely have time to do all the stuff you've got to do for other people, let alone doing things that you don't have to do at all, but heaven forbid you just do because you like them. There's something good about the self-care movement, isn't there? But there's also something oppressive about it. But now, you say, you're telling me that God is in on the act too. You've got to turn up to church not just because it glorifies God and is good for other people, but because it's good for me too. In other words, you might be feeling like today's sermon is just going to be one more thing on the list of oppressive things, of things you've got to do for your own good. What gives with that? How are we going to be able to hear God's word today in a way that doesn't make us feel guilty? Well, I think it's this, and I think it comes down to the nature of the gospel. You see, at the very core of the gospel is the claim that what makes me right with God is not my performance, but Jesus Christ's performance on the cross. The one thing that makes you a Christian is the fact that Jesus died for your sin, and you recognize that fact, and you've asked for mercy on the basis of it. It's free. It's got nothing to do with your performance. And it's certainly got nothing to do with whether you get to church regularly or not. No, we want to say really, really clearly that church attendance is not what saves you. Only Jesus can do that. But it's precisely because of that fact that I think we've got to turn up to church as much as we can. And here's why. Because it's that message that your value and your worth comes from Jesus' performance, not yours, is the one message you will never hear anywhere else. Everyone else tells you that what makes you valuable as a person is what you do for other people, even sometimes what you do for yourself. But either way, it's all about what you do. That's why you've got to get to church as often as you can. Because at its best, church is the one place in the world which will remind you week in, week out, that you are valuable and loved, not because of what you do, but because of what God has done for you. Church on a Sunday morning is, if you like, works rehab. That's what we are. We're in rehab. We all naturally have a desire to earn our place in the world in front of other people and in front of God, and we do it by doing the right things. But here at church, we come to a place to detox from that message where we hear everywhere else that we've got to prove ourselves to God in the world by what we do. And like any other form of rehab, we've got to come here often. Because the pressure from the world to relapse is relentless. So, are we feeling non-guilty now? I hope we're feeling non-judged. Are we ready to hear three good reasons about why it's actually good for us to come to church? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why it's really great to come to church, and I should really give a shout out to Dave Lynch at Summerlees Christian Church. I didn't nick this sermon from him, but I did nick these 3 points from him. And if you really want to check up on that, you can always listen to his sermon online if you'd like. But first of all, let's listen to this one. Here are the 3 points it's really good to get to church, the non-guilt-inducing points. Hear that. You ready? It helps you stand firm. It helps you listen to God's word. And it helps you feel connected. First of all, getting to church regularly helps you stand firm. It encourages you. Listen to the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 3 of his letter. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, just so you know the context of the letter to the Hebrews, this is a letter that's written to a group of Christians who are Jews, but who've now come to realize that the way to be right with God isn't by obeying the Jewish law, but by trusting in Jesus. But it would seem in the background to this letter that there's a group of people who are Jews as well, but aren't Christians, who are trying to drag them back into works-based religion and away from grace. And so the writer to the Hebrews is writing to urge these Christians to hang on to what they've now learned about the living God. And how are they to hang on to what they've learned about the living God? Well, one of the ways he tells them to do it is to encourage one another daily. You see it there in verse 13. They're to encourage each other with the good news of the gospel. That is, they're to surround themselves with Christian brothers and sisters who will regularly remind them that their acceptability to God is based not on their performance, but on Jesus. They're to build around themselves a community of encouragement that will remind them of the good news. And that community that God has given us is called church. Now, how often, according to the writer of the Hebrews, are they to do this? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? They're to do it daily. As long as it's called today, encourage one another. Clearly, the forces of sin and its deceitfulness are sufficiently strong and compelling that the writer simply doesn't assume that a Christian will even be able to survive a day without encouragement from another believer. When is a day that I need to encouragement to hang on to grace? Well, is it today? Yes, it is. Well, looks like today's the day. That's a day you need encouragement to hang on to grace. Now, think about it for us. If the writer to the Hebrews is saying that we need encouragement from our church family each day, we are definitely going to need it each week, aren't we? And so we're going to need, if we can, to show up to church. It's like turning, as we've already said, it's like turning up to works rehab. Sin is so deceitful. Our addiction to proving ourselves to God and the world is so strong. We will need regular meetings with fellow ex-works addicts to hang on to grace, even for another week. So why is it good for us to get to church as often as we can? Well, because it helps us stand firm. That's the first reason. It helps you stand firm. That's why it's good for you. You still with us? This is good? Yeah? Okay. We're all awake. Very good. Here's the second reason. It helps you to listen to God's word. The second reason it's good for you to get to church is because it helps you listen to God's word. You need the Bible to help you going in the Christian life. Turn, and you can actually turn here in your Bibles, to 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. Don't worry, I'll wait for the Russellometer to go down. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17 was our first Bible reading. Now, what's going on here? Well, here Paul is telling Timothy, his old protege, to continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. That's there in verse 14. He wants Timothy to continue in what he's learned and has become convinced of. And then he gives two becauses. Here are two reasons for you to continue to carry on in what you've learned. And the biggest because is this. It's right up there on the screen. Because from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work in the Christian life? Do you want to continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of? Well, God's advice through Paul is to read your Bible. Now, of course, we can read our Bibles without having to go to church. It's called personal Bible reading. And let me go on record as having said, we're for it. That's a good thing to do. So why do we need to come to church for it? Well, I think there are two reasons why it's not enough just to be reading your Bible on your own, why you've also got to get together on a Sunday morning to do it here. And the first is this. Church is probably the time you'll spend most time in the Bible all week. Probably. When we meet here together, this is probably the time, the best chance we get to spend the most time in the Bible. Life gets busy, doesn't it? And so it can actually be really hard to find time to read and think in peace for an extended period of time. Let me give you a personal confession here. My quiet times, my personal quiet times, have frankly been a mess for the last 5 years since I've had kids. Let me describe to you what my average quiet time looks like in a morning. This is all true. So the kids are meant to get up at 7 a.m. And so I get up at 6:30 a.m. and I creep down our hallway, which is creaky floorboards. I creep down there past all the children's rooms like a ninja. I get my cornflakes, having very carefully opened the door and very carefully slid it down. I get the cornflakes all the while listening out for my children. And I grab my Bible and I open it up and I start to read it. And I'm two verses in, and then I hear the telltale noise of Sam getting out of bed and padding down the hall. And he pokes his little three-year-old head around the door, and he says, "Daddy, is it time to get up?" To which I say, "Well, I suppose it is now." And that normally puts an end to my quiet time for the day. Now, occasionally, I have actually tried to push through and actually do my quiet time with him there, and even use it as an opportunity to model the importance of Bible reading to him. So I say to him, "Sam, would you like to read the Bible with me?" And he always says yes, and he climbs up onto the stool next to me in his little flannelette pajamas, and we start reading. And for the next 10 seconds, I look like Christian Father of the Year. I'm sitting up at the bench, and we're both in our flannel PJs, and I'm reading the Bible to my little blonde-haired boy. And then this is what happens. "Daddy, what number is that? What are we doing today? I want toast. Wombats do square poos." None of those were made up. And it just all goes to pot, and then the rest of the day takes off, and I don't get back to it, and before I know it, often I'm in bed. Now, look, that's just the reason why I find reading the Bible hard, but there could be many others for you. You might have a really early start in the morning, or you might be the kind of person who just finds it hard to get into good habits, or maybe you're the kind of person who just don't really like reading. But either way, it's hard. But on Sundays, you get to actually sink into the Bible properly. I've got a creche to help look after my kids, and my kids get the Bible teaching that they need there too. It's not just daycare. And then the service leader asks me a helpful question to get my juices flowing. And then I sing some songs that have been carefully chosen to bring out the theme of the bit of the Bible that we'll be looking at today. And then I'll have someone come up and pray for me that, amongst other things, God will help me to listen well to His voice when He speaks to me through the Bible. And then the Bible will be read to me without distractions by someone who's practiced it through the week so as to convey its meaning with maximum clarity. And then I have someone stand up and help take me through that Bible passage for half an hour, who can show me things that are in there that I didn't see it when it was read out to me, because they've spent 12 to 15 hours in their study preparing to help me like that. That's what church is. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if I had that at home? If when I got up in the morning and Sam came pad-padding down the hall, some nice person came out of nowhere and popped him in a little creche so that I could have the time to myself, and they were actually going to read the Bible to him there too. And then as I'm sitting there with my cornflakes, Sam's tucked away in the creche, then Matt King, he walks out of one of the rooms. He walks out of the toilet and he asks me this question to get the juices flowing. And I think, Matt, what are you doing here in my house? But I'll take it, I don't really care. That's wonderful that you're here, you're priming the juices. And then Sita Dahan climbs out of my fridge and she sings me a song. A song that's been chosen. Somehow she knows. I don't know how she knows. Clearly she's sneaking around my house, so maybe she's found it out. But she leads me in a song that helps get me ready. And then someone else reads me the Bible, and someone else sits down next to me and takes me through it for half an hour. All the while I'm sitting there in my dressing gown, munching on my cornflakes and going, oh yeah, okay. And they're nodding away and they're taking me through it. And then someone else comes into my house and they pray for me that God would use those words that I've heard to mold and shape me more into the likeness of Jesus. I mean, wouldn't that just be the most amazing quiet time? But it's never going to happen. But it does happen every Sunday right here. You get to church because for most of us, this is realistically the best time we'll have in the Bible all week. That's the first reason you turn to church to listen to God's word. But the second reason you turn up to church to listen to God's word is because church is a time we get to read the Bible in the whole church community. You see, the second reason Timothy should continue in what he's learned and become convinced of is because he knows his Bible well, and the Bible can equip him for every good work. That's what we've just looked at. But the first reason he's given is because he learned the gospel in community. Listen to chapter 3, verse 14. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Do you see what's happening there? Timothy didn't become a Christian just because he went to a hotel and he got a Gideon's Bible out and he read it himself, as good as that is. No, he learned it because his mum taught him. And then, secondly, he learned the gospel because Paul taught him. And he's been reading the Bible with other people ever since. He read the Bible with others, and so he learned the Bible from others. You see, there's something about learning in community that enriches our understanding of Scripture, isn't there? We can say to each other after the service, what did you think about that part of the passage? Oh, no, I don't think that bit means that at all. No, I think it means this. Now, unless you're in the habit of holding conversations yourself like this at the kitchen bench like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings, then you're never going to get this benefit on your own. So you've got to make it to church. Now here's something I think it's really important to hear before we move on. I am not saying you now have a free license to give up on quiet times. I don't have a free license to give up on quiet times. I have to say, I have had to be a bit creative. But I now actually still get to read my Bible by myself in peace most days, and we actually have a pretty good time of it. It's just much less, it's just not so much at the same time because of the uncertainties of life. And I really benefit from that. I want to hope and trust, and I'm praying that you too are being creative and working out times to be able to read your Bible by yourself every day. That is crucial. Of course, I'm also not saying that you can't understand the Bible on your own when you're doing that, that you can only understand it when you're in community. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that at church, you get a great chance, maybe even the best chance you get, to study the Bible uninterrupted and in community. And that is a great reason to get to church for your own good. Why is it good for us to get to church? Why is church such good works detox? Why does it keep reminding us of grace and help keeping us going? Because it keeps you encouraged and it keeps you firm. It helps you listen to God's word. And thirdly and finally, it helps you feel connected. The last reason it's good to get to church is because it helps you feel connected. Listen to Hebrews 13 verses 1 to 3. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Now, what's the key command here? Well, it's keep loving one another as brothers and sisters. But what does love look like? Well, it's social here, isn't it? It's showing hospitality to strangers. It's visiting those who can't make it to church with you on a Sunday because they're in prison. You see, to love each other, you've got to meet with each other. Because meeting with each other connects us to each other. I mean, loneliness is just a huge problem in our society, isn't it? Because loneliness is very bad for you. Getting to church is a great way to feel connected. But here's the kicker. It will only work if you show up. People can invite you and cajole you and follow you up and send you reminders. But at the end of the day, if you don't decide to show up, you will start to feel disconnected. You see, church really is one of those things that the more you put in, the more you get out. So think about the Morph teenager. It's Friday night and you're wondering whether to go to Morph or not. And so you think, I'll get some advice from someone. And so you jump on the phone. I wonder how many times this conversation has happened. Are you going to Morph tonight? I'm not sure. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm not sure either. I probably won't actually. You? No, probably not either. That is the definition of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you tell other people you're probably not coming, they're probably not going to come either. What you could have said is, are you going to Morph? Well, actually, no, I'm going to Morph. Are you going to be there too? If you do that, they're much more likely to say, actually, yeah, sure, that sounds like fun. And then once you do that, they are all there. The only difference it made was how you spoke on the phone. You get in what you put out. Now, of course, I'm not just picking on teenagers at Morph. I hasten to add, if you're at Morph, this whole thing can be a bit of a problem with us adults as well. There is a certain sort of person who says that they feel no sense of community, but they do nothing to help themselves in this. Here is a version of a conversation that I have had so many times over the last 18 years in church leadership that I have lost count. And here's how it goes. You meet with a person and you say, oh, so what's the problem? I just don't feel connected to church. Oh, okay. Well, are you part of a small group? No. Did you go to church camp? No. Do you read the Bible one-to-one with anyone? No. How often do you get to church on Sunday? Probably about 1 in 3. So what's the problem again? Oh, I just don't feel connected at church. That conversation is so frustrating, it makes me want to set my own head on fire. you will only get out of church what you put in. If you're not feeling connected at church, is it because you are not connecting yourself to church? But you know what? On the flip side, I've also seen some beautiful examples of how it's worked the other way. Let me just give you two before we close. I know of some people they've been sporadic in coming on Sunday, but then they joined a connect group. Now, you might think that this would make them even more sporadic in their attendance on Sundays, as according to their reasoning, well, we've already getting our fill on Christian community on weeknights, and so that gives me an excuse not to go on Sundays. But do you know what? It's actually had the opposite effect. When they joined the CG, where I gather they're now very regular, they actually started coming more to church, not less. Now, why? Because of exactly what we're saying. They realize that meeting with people helps them feel connected, and that the more they feel connected, the better they feel. Or I know another older couple who've been part of CRCK for most of their lives. They are faithful, godly Christian people, and they have been here for decades. But this year, they did two things. They got back into being part of a CG, and they worked at church camp. And after church camp, what did they say? This absolutely blew me away. People have been coming here their whole lives. I have never felt more a part of this place in my whole life than I do right now. I mean, wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't Christian community amazing? Because showing up makes you feel connected. Why is it good for you to show up to church? Well, it's simple. Because it helps you stand firm, because it helps you listen to God's word, and it helps you feel connected. And when you do those things, you will be thoroughly equipped for remembering that your value and your purpose in life is entirely tied up with Jesus' performance and not yours. And that is what will help you stay firm. So why don't we give great thanks to God for that, and we'll pray now. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we really want to thank you that coming together and meeting week in, week out is not just good for you, although it is. It's not just good for others, although it is. It's actually good for ourselves, and not the kind of thing that's good for ourselves in a way that makes us feel guilty, but that actually reminds us that our guilt was taken out on you, so we no longer need to suffer it. Father, we pray, if in our heart of hearts we have actually fallen out of the habit of meeting together regularly today, Father, we pray that you'd impress these things upon us, that meeting together is good for helping us to stand firm. It helps us dig into God's word, into your word, in a way that may be even better than when we do it during the week on our own, and that it helps us feel connected with our brothers and sisters who are all going through the same stuff as us. Father, we pray that when we find it hard to make it to church, please encourage us with these truths, and don't let us down when we come along, but rather give us great joy in the gospel because of it, and conform us to look more like your Son because we've done it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.